Nice little lip smack to get us going there. I don't even know what that was. Hey, everybody, I'm Colin Rizzo. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we try our very, very best to make today make sense.
Mouth noises and all. Just so you know, mouth noise is a technical engineering term in the radio business. And the noise is almost, the term is almost as upsetting as the noise. Yeah. I'm Molly Wood. Thanks for joining us. It is thank you to radio engineers everywhere who have to de-mouth noise the things that we say.
There was a director of the radio show a number of years ago who used to get on me for teeth clicks. And I'm like, that's the way I talk. Shut up. Leave me alone.
They click. How do you stop that? How do you even stop it?
I know. She's like, all right, we have to get rid of that teeth click. And I'm like, no. Go away.
Hear everything. And I'm so sorry in advance forever and for all eternity for all the weird noises that apparently our mouths make. All right, we are off the rails already. It's Hollowed Out Shell Thursday. Yes. As usual, we are going to do the news. Hopefully by the end, we will be smiling. In case you are wondering about the state of the shell, not good.
Pretty hollow. You want to go?
This is one of those episodes where I was like, I'm so hollowed out about what is happening in Texas that I want to dodge it, and yet I can't. So what I'm going to say to everyone is, you know things are bad when I actually tweet about it. And I am talking, by the way, for those of you who are not extremely online, about the furor in America over this Texas abortion law that effectively outlaws almost all of abortion in that state, deputizes people in the state and, frankly, outside of the state, anywhere in America, to snitch on clergy members, doctors, clinicians, women, people who talk about having an abortion, and or women who actually have one. And what is notable about it, other than the extremity of it, is that the it's patently unconstitutional according to current law, but the U.S. Supreme Court and the Texas Supreme Court both allowed it to go into effect, which is not how things are usually done in the legal system. If there is a doubt about something being constitutional, the standard procedure is to put it on hold while you figure it out, not let it go into effect so that you have giant lines at abortion clinics and, you know, women just basically ending up without that as an option for whatever their reasons are if they cannot afford to leave the state. And it feels like going back in time.
Yeah. So we'll give this a nod and then we'll move on. But we will also say that on Tuesday on our deep dive, we're going to do this story our way, which is to say reproductive rights as an economic story, which it undeniably is. But number one, I associate myself with the remarks of my co-host completely. I also commend to your attention a different podcast, not this one, although this one's good, but a podcast called Strict Scrutiny, which has an episode out, dropped last night before the Supreme Court ruled. But it's really good background on what Molly was talking about the process and procedure of how this case came to be before the Supreme Court. And they have Steve Vladeck from the University of Texas, also Kate Shaw from, I don't know where she is, a school in New York. Anyway, it's really good. It's called Strict Scrutiny, and I recommend it highly. And there are just so many things that are just wild about the way this entire thing has gone down, setting aside for a moment the fact that a constitutionally protected medical procedure has been abnegated without a peep from the Supreme Court. They're just like,
without a peep from the organization in charge of upholding the Constitution. Yeah. So everybody who was warned about this.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, that's right. Let's call Susan Collins. It's really the decision itself last night and the dissents, they're really short. Read them. Totally interesting. But anyway, we Molly and I thought we couldn't not talk about that just a little bit today. So we did. And there it was. That's what we talked about.
And we will again, because without a doubt, women's rights are economic rights. Reproductive rights are economic rights. And it has a profound impact on the economy and people's quality of lives when you have women who are forced to give birth. That is the effect of this law, is to force women to give birth against their will. and suffer all of the lifelong economic consequences that come along with that.
Yep. Yep.
So more to come on Tuesday.
Yeah, more to come. More to come. All right. So my other actual news item, and maybe this is me just being pie in the sky, but I saw this headline in the New York Times today about the storms last night in New York City. Holy cow. And also the damage it did down on the Gulf Coast. And also, you know, the wildfires out of here, blah, blah, blah. Headline in the New York Times today, one of them anyway, in its live section. And I don't really like the way they do that because it's all bulletized and pre-digested. I hate that. Mm-hmm. But anyway.
It's weird.
In storm, yes. In storm's wake, leaders acknowledge need to confront climate change. So number one, duh. Number two, I wonder if much as George Floyd seemed to be at the time, and I think still is a tipping point for the recognition of systemic racism in this economy, in this society, and the need to act with some urgency that we all felt last summer, and hopefully some of us do still feel. I wonder if this storm and the events of this summer and the wildfires and New York City being underwater, I mean, you've seen the pictures of the subway. I just kind of wonder if this is going to be the moment where everybody says, oh, holy crap, got to do something. I don't know. Maybe I'm just being a little pie in the sky. I don't know. I don't know. That's it.
I mean, I don't think you are completely. I think the George Floyd comparison could be very interesting and or depressing. Because certainly that was a moment when everybody said, wow, we really have to do something. And then at a systemic level, we didn't. Like, we all yelled at each other over, like, Twitter handles or, you know, lots of things that don't actually add up to systemic change. And then we left a lot of the systems in place. And so hopefully both that and this will lead to actual sustaining change. But, yeah, I mean, it's easy to get pretty dark about climate change, and yet – I mean, there's nothing like a straight-up existential threat to prod people into action. So I hope. I mean, it certainly has to be, right? It's like it's now or never. But man. Yeah,
for sure.
Are we not ready for it, as evidenced by all of the – also, and I hate that this is the case. But the fact that it's happening – you know, here you have in New Orleans and Louisiana all these people still without power, slow-rolling death moving through that state – and now it's like, wait, it happened in New York and Brooklyn and New Jersey? Oh, we're on it.
I know. Oh, my God, Brooklyn's underwater. Yeah, no, I know.
But hey, maybe now the regular old media will be like, dang, this is a pretty big story, turns out. Climate change.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I just liked this. This is a little bit pie in the sky, too, but I was delighted to see a bunch of billionaires have to pay big tax bills. The executives at the hedge fund, like, this is a great story. Wall Street Journal reporting this afternoon that executives of hedge fund Renaissance Technologies LLC will personally pay $7 billion in back taxes, interest, and penalties to settle a long-running dispute. It includes James Simons, also Robert Mercer, who is the billionaire who's behind a bunch of... He's a big, big, big Trump supporter, and he and his daughter are behind a bunch of really, really conservative media stuff, and also evidently some tax dodging. And they have had to pay that bill. And it just is like yet another reminder that we actually have all the money that we need in this country if we just enforced our tax laws.
Yeah, for sure. Trillions of dollars.
And maybe didn't spend $2 trillion on like the 20-year war. But yes, the tax hole is a big one. So... That was a pretty good, just sticking with like a shovel analogy, that was a pretty good size scoop of dirt right there.
Yes.
And I was frankly kind of happy to see it. I also am just so fascinated by Apple planning to digitize driver's licenses and state IDs. So, you know, Apple's got the wallet feature. It's been a long time since I just did some straight up tech, but I feel like it. Because they, you know, you had digital boarding passes and then like your tickets and you put in your little wallet and then you had your credit card and subway tickets. And so now Apple's like, I'm going to digitize driver's license and state IDs. And this is one of those things that I've been complaining about for years. I'm like, man, the only flaw with the mobile boarding pass situation is your stupid license, which you have to get out of the wallet. And I don't know about you, but I always get like stabbed in the cuticle because like your credit card hits me when I try to get out. And then you got to put it back and then that slows up the line. And it's just like, it's a mess. And yet, and so I was like, this should be so great, except that everybody's so worried about privacy and reasonably made the point that, like, several people on Twitter were saying there's no way, including Neelai Patel from The Verge. He's like, there is no chance whatsoever that I, if I got pulled over for speeding, would hand an officer my phone to take back to his car.
Yep.
And same with the TSA, most likely. And it's just like, it's kind of one of those things that probably is a terrible idea, even though it's just so, it's such a great, it would be so great. It's,
that handing the cop your phone thing is a really good insight because, I don't know if I want to do that. Right?
Like, sure.
Yeah, for
take
sure.
this back to your car. And, you know, I'm sure I'm sure you wouldn't be able to. And Apple just hasn't been particularly transparent about how they would protect you in that case. And I'm like, but
and it's
going to
be unlocked. So you can plug it into that little. It's unlocked. So you're going to plug all that special equipment you have and download My Entire Life. Thank you. No. Thank you. No.
I know, and yet I want it. And then I'm, you know, even if I was like, if the government digitized my ID, it would be totally fine. No, it wouldn't. Ugh. This is why we can't have nice things, because everything just gets abused.
Yeah.
It is, as Bridget Bonner just said in our Slack, a great and terrible idea, the perfect idea for our time.
Right. Exactly. It's exactly right. It's exactly what it is. God, we should
all right. Make us smile.
Do it. Come on. Oh, my
Thanks,
God, you've
Juan
got
Carlos.
Three Make Me Smiles. You've got three.
I was trying hard. Well, actually, one is related and one is actually a Make Me Smile.
Okay.
There's been this video circulating of just a rat living his best life swimming around in floodwaters.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
And people, the second link is to say that people were like, oh, this is from the New York flooding, and it's actually not. Evidently, it's from the Philippines.
But
it's also just this little rat swimming along, and they set it to Clair de Lune. And it's so relaxing to see this, like, little happy rat and just take a minute and be like, I love it. It's such a beautiful song. And this rat is having heck of much fun. He's not even drowning. Wow. He's just loving it. Swimming along. Go, little rat. You are all of us.
Rats can swim. Rats can swim.
You are all of us. And then who posted this in the Make Me Smart Slack? It was Bridget. Uh-huh. Posting about the McDonald's broken ice cream machines reportedly being part of an FTC investigation.
Yeah.
Like, this is consumer harm, people. We need a McFlurry. Yeah. And if that's the case,
I get it.
Use my tax.
You know how when you go to order a McFlurry, the machine is always down? The Federal Trade Commission, Lena Khan, chairperson, is in charge of fixing your McFlurry machine. That's what's going to be happening. That's what's going to be happening.
I love it.
There we go.
Love it.
All right. Mine is musical in nature. I know. How about this? So the picture on Twitter today that went along with this story was them in the motion capture shirts or suits. ABBA is doing a new studio album, first studio album in 40 years. And as part of that, is going to do a virtual concert presentation. So they took a picture of them dressed up in these motion capture suits, and they're going to be played like next spring at Wembley in some virtual concert thing. The album drops in November, virtual concerts in the spring. And look, ABBA is fun music. It's just fun music.
You can dance. I mean, come on. Having the time of your life.
Stop. Oh, man.
But I mean, you really thought you were going to bring ABBA and there wasn't going to be singing?
That was great. I knew there was going to be singing. It was really just a question of which song it was going to be. That was it. Oh, my God.
See? Anyway. And now we're done. Perfect.
Boom.
We'll be back tomorrow. I know it seems like we're already having our tequila, but we'll be back tomorrow for Economics on Tap and the YouTube live stream. And I do not have kid pickup, and there will be bourbon. 3:30 p.m.
There you go.
Pacific. 6:30 Eastern, maybe some ABBA. Keep sending your questions our way. Make me smart at marketplace.org or leave us a voicemail. Our number is 508-827-6278, 508-UB-SMART.
Boom.
Take
a chance on me. Come on, that's good stuff. That's good music. Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera. Today's episode was engineered by Juan Carlos Dorado. Mark A. Green is writing our newsletter this week, despite all that pumpkin spice stuff in the Slack channel, yo. I don't know. You're just lucky you found the job.
Not okay with the ranch. Bridget Bodner is senior producer and the executive director of On Demand. This is Tara Nieves. I'm not a purist about very many things, but ranch. Ranch dressing is sacred.
Yes. Don't mess it up. Don't mess it up. Boom. There we go.
Bum, 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 bum. I feel like, by the way, we've never even acknowledged that. It's September now.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.